another exclusive live session with the Hype Magazine.
You need to stop what you're doing. Pay attention.
World famous
Hype Magazine. Going down right now.
Hey, what's good, everybody, and welcome to another live session with the Hype Magazine. Today, I have the equivalent of the super secret agent of hip-hop by the name of Bikki Tobok. And why do I call her the super secret agent? Because she got into the archives of some of the hip-hop's most famous and some of the busiest photographers. She got a chance to look at the contact sheets. It is the equivalent of getting into the super secret archives of the Vatican, the FBI, the Secret Service, all in one, knowing how close the community that hip-hop. Ms. Bikki Tobok, the author of Contact High, A Visual History of Hip-Hop, came out yesterday on Clarkson Potter. Thanks for being with us this morning, or this afternoon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Contact High, how did you pull it together? First and foremost, gaining the trust of the super secret photographers in the hip-hop community.
Yeah, I mean, this was a real labor of love, and you know, it's really something. I mean, I've been working on for the past couple years, but really much longer than that. I met a lot of these photographers back in the day, in the early 90s. I actually got my start working for an independent hip-hop record label. You know, I loved the music. I had grown up on it. And then at 19, I started working for Payday Records, Empire Management, and working with groups like Gangstar, Early Mos Def, Shown AG, J.Ru, Group Home. So I was there. I was their person that like would take them all their photo shoots and accompany them. And I met a lot of the photographers that are now in this book back then when I was working, you know, on the side of the artist to create these album covers and magazine covers and whatnot. So after the music business, I started writing about hip hop and I became a journalist, which is, you know, what I do today. But come time to tell the story of hip-hop photography, a lot of the photographers I knew and remembered from back then, so had already built that trust. And then, you know, the other photographers, it was a matter of, like, visiting their archives and going into shoeboxes and going into basements and, you know, digging stuff out and building that trust and interviewing them, and, you know, really creating the book with a lot of elbow grease.
I can imagine. And true to the nature of hip-hop, Contact High, the title of the book, is a metaphor. Why don't you give them a rundown of the title?
Yeah, so the word Contact High kind of is a play on contact sheets, which, you know, now we live in this digital age of like instant photography. But back in the day, you know, when things were shot on analog film, photographers would not be seeing their shots real time. They would be, you know, shooting the photos on an analog camera, and then they would go into the dark room and they would develop these contact sheets. So all the photos would be printed on a piece of paper that then kind of became a working document to like select the shot, see the sequence, and pick that, like, that money shot that would ultimately become, you know, an album cover or this iconic candid shot or land on a magazine cover. So, you know, the contact sheets are really a thing of the past from analog days, but that's where the name comes from, because for every photo in the book, we show the contact sheet that photo was birthed from.
Yeah, my only experience with contact sheets today are from models. And, you know, they just, all their information and whatnot, and some of their select photos, et cetera, et cetera. So that put it into perspective from OG journalism and OG photography to today's microwave situation. Amazing. This is a chronological storybook, a pictorial storybook that runs from 1979. Yes, y'all. Way before we heard Rapper's Delight, hip hop was doing its thing. Kool Herc, Tony Tone were starting to make it happen. Kool Herc, who of course is the father of the term hip hop, all the way through 2012. And there's some amazing shots. The importance of the documentation of these stories and why people who call themselves hip hoppers should pay attention. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hip hop is now almost over 40 years old. So, you know, and from the Kool Herc days, from, you know, the early 70s to, you know, mid 70s when hip hop was born, you know, the music's style and its attitude and its politics, that was all communicated through the photos. And also, you know, there were certain photographers that were part of the culture as the musicians were coming up, as the music was, you know, coming up. Like, these photographers were really young and coming up, and they would go and shoot in parks and in clubs and, you know, do a lot of these photo shoots for free. And so that story of how, like, everyone kind of came up together is also part of what I wanted to get across in the book. So, yeah, so we made it chronological. You know, the book, our first shoot is of Kool Herc and Tony Tone, which was taken by photographer Joe Conzo. And, you know, a lot of times, like, these photographers, their photos were hyper-visible, but you never heard the stories behind those.
Right.
You never saw the outtakes. And so telling hip-hop history through the photographer's lens just kind of takes us deeper into those moments. So, you know, you start out with Kool Herc, and you start out with, you know, seeing the places like Skate Key. You see B-boys, you see DJs. Like, a lot of the early part of the book is a little bit more anonymous, like, you know, the foot soldiers of those early days of hip-hop. And then, you know, as the music starts becoming mainstream, starts getting on the radio, you know, we kind of we visually take you through all those moments. You start seeing, you know, Biggie on the cover of Rap Pages magazine, Biggie, King of New York. You start seeing, you know, Tupac, middle fingers up, like, doing his thing. You start seeing, you know, EPMD or Rakim, you know, their album covers. Like, you start seeing their style, and you start seeing what they were wearing, and, you know, you start seeing, like, the Dapper Dan jackets and the different sneakers. And so visualizing all that was these great photographers. And so each shoot is, you know, just takes you deep in.
One of my favorite, and people looking at hip hop today where everybody's, you know, sagging and et cetera, et cetera. One of my favorite parts or shots in the book was the JDL at the Skate Key roller rink, where the guy has his silk shirt with a knot, you know, and his chest open. The juxtaposition of disco roller skating and hip hop as it was growing, you know what I mean? And he caught this, pretty amazing. Things today that would be considered more effeminate were the standard based on the era and the geographical location.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that photo feels more like a documentary photo. And it's that magic moment. And even in that photo of JDL, like, I love the expressions of all the kids in the background, all the, you know, teenagers and everyone that, like, it's like magic for them, that moment. And then you talk about, you know, the importance of Skate Key as a space for hip hop, where, you know, that was a time when, a lot of people weren't fucking with hip hop, like in terms of like mainstream venues or, you know, outside of the neighborhoods where it was born or even getting any radio play. Like that was some real, you know, DIY, we're claiming this moment. Mm-hmm. And to have those visuals is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, I mean, for those on the West Coast listening in, that would be, you know, in L.A., the equivalent of Skateland or, you know, Uncle Jam's Army putting on shows, and that Skateland was really the venue of World on Wheels. That was a lot of the breakout history of hip-hop, coming from the skating rinks where they could hold, you know, large amounts of people and could experiment with sound.
Yeah, I grew up, you know, I grew up in Detroit, and our version of that was a place called Northland Skating, mm-hmm. where, you know, I spent some good afternoons and evenings for sure. So, yeah, I mean, it speaks to, like, you know, the regionality of the really, like, grassroots beginnings of hip-hop. So, yeah, mm-hmm. thanks for, you know, calling that out. That's a good point.
I read the book. I looked at the book. I'm going through my notes, and it's like, these are the things, you know. I think one of the fun things for me was watching several of the pieces on Fab Five Freddy. A lot of people, you know him as a movie maker, but he was there as a lens. He was one of the first serious lenses in the game that people got to know. And mostly that, I think that was because of the MTV era popping in, but you know, Joe Conzo was, of course, a staple early on. And then, you know, you got Watson, Janet Beckman, one of the first females mm-hmm. to really put it down and be accepted to come through and shoot and get the trust in such a male-dominated kind of arena, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of women photographers in the book. And a lot of, you know, women subjects, I mean, from Latifah to Aaliyah to Nikki, but also, you know, I knew just from having worked with so many women photographers back in the day that, you know, Jeanette Beckman, Sue Kwan, even like Sheila Pree Bright, who was documenting the Houston scene, Lisa Leone, like a lot of people have asked me, like, was it hard to find female photographers to include, or like, was that intentional? And I was like, you know, it wasn't even intent. I mean, it became intentional, but it wasn't hard to do at all. I was like, okay. Like when I started to compile the list, I was like, there's a lot of women up in here, which is great. You know,
aside from your personal connections with these photographers that you basically grew up in the game with, like a curator at Syracuse, the hip hop museum. So the girl from the Funky 4+1.
Yeah, I didn't catch the beginning of your question, but I think are you talking about the Cornell Hip Hop Archive?
There you go, Cornell.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was asking what resources you used outside of your personal connections, and I don't know why I said Syracuse. I meant Cornell.
It's okay, New York, upstate New York, same vicinity, but so I didn't really, you know, I just kind of relied on my own personal resources and connections to research the book. But, you know, the Cornell Hip Hop Archive holds, you know, part of the Bill Adler Archive. Bill wrote a great essay for the book. And they also hold the Joe Conzo Archive. And then, you know, Harvard has started its own hip hop archive. And then, you know, a Nasir Jones Fellowship is part of that, of course, you know, named after Nas. But I think, you know, this topic of archiving hip-hop is something that a lot of institutions and, you know, museums and places of scholarship are just starting to take really seriously, which is so necessary and great. And so, yeah, you're starting to see places like Cornell and Harvard do that work and digitize a lot of the photos and a lot of the ephemera and articles to make it available, you know, for history and for scholars that want to do research on it. So, but there's still more work to be done. I mean, archiving and digitizing, like, you know, the Googles of the world, I think, really need to step in and, like, you know, mobilize on a big scale, because there's a lot, you know, and there's still a lot out there, you know, in people's basements and shoeboxes, and, like, they, I was really like, you know, get these into some, like, archival sleeves, or at least put it in an archival box, because, you know, the negatives and everything is real sensitive, you know?
Yeah. Because, I mean, the old film, it had silver in it, didn't it? So it had a chance to ruin or oxidize more or something like that. So a lot of the important early shots, I think I have my information correct, that it had like silver oxide or something in the composition.
Yeah. I mean, you know, fortunately, the photographers are now starting to digitize more of their own work, but it's just a lot of work. You know, it's really labor intensive to digitize as an individual photographer. So, you know, I think, and I hope that these big institutions and museums and even like tech companies will step in and help.
It certainly need to. I mean, this is one of America's greatest creations, and that is, you know, now global, literally global. We have basketball, we've got baseball, and we've got hip hop and jazz. So,
yeah,
you know, speaking of which, you know, the amazing shot by the legendary Gordon Parks, A Great Day in Hip Hop, shows you guys a little bit about the history of XXL magazine. Shout out to XXL. They've done a magnificent job in history. So in 98, Gordon Parks shot A Great Day in Hip Hop on the exact same spot as A Great Day in Harlem, which pulled together or referenced the jazz shot that was done in the 50s. Big shot. Talk to us about the importance of this one. This is amazing. What do you got, over 100, 200 artists?
Yeah, that photo to this day blows my mind. It just celebrated a 20-year anniversary. And the photo that you're referring to, of course, is A Great Day in Hip-Hop, photographed by Gordon Parks, which brought together, you know, over 200 hip-hop artist in 1998 on a stoop in Harlem on 126th Street for essentially like a class photo of all the greats at the time. And you had, like, you know, what was amazing about that day is that you had all the, you know, OGs there. You had Rakim, you had Slick Rick, you had Herc, you had Grandmaster Flash. And then you had guys who at the time were, you know, on the come up. It was, you know, Mos Def was like nerding out. He's like, oh my God, like, there's Rakim over there. I can't believe I'm in the same vicinity. Like, you know, Questlove writes about it in his foreword, how they couldn't believe that, like, some of the people there knew who they were. And so it was just this, like, mutual love fest that was coming together with everyone that day. And so it was just a really beautiful moment, you know, and this was pre-social media. And so just to even get everyone there was like a big mobilization on the part of, you know, the editors of XXL Magazine, Sheena Lester. And so, you know, that was really just calling everyone and sort of having everyone call their friends and their friends called their friends, and somehow all these artists showed up on this afternoon, and the great Gordon Parks agreed to take that photo. So that photo has, it's become really important for many reasons. And so when I was sort of thinking about, like, what are the must-have photos in this book, like, that photo was a no-brainer. And the Gordon Parks Foundation, luckily, you know, understands the importance of that photo. And so they gave me the contact sheets where you could see, like, the shadow, because, you know, they were really working against time to, like, get everyone in the same shot and get the lighting right. But you can see, even in that photo, like, half the photo is in shadow. And in the contact sheet, you can also see, like, the shadow is creeping up as the day progresses. So just truly that moment was magic.
I mean, he got the shot. I'm looking at, I looked at the contact sheet and I'm going, boy, they barely got that in. I mean, you know, like a really good shot. And it was perfect because the shadow actually delineates the faces of the front lines.
It's That's
like
right.
a demarcation line. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
I'm not a photographer, but I can appreciate this shot.
And the fact that, you know, it just celebrated a 20-year anniversary, it's just really cool. You know, and the jazz photo that you talked about, it was for the cover of Esquire, and that one was shot by Art Cain. And I was actually on that block a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to the woman that that owns the brownstone that photo was taken in front of. And she was like, you know, there's only two people from that original jazz photo that are still alive. I think Sonny Rollins and one other. And so, you know, when you think about photos like that, like, you know, this hip-hop photo will one day be that too. You know, like one day people will be like, yeah, there's just a couple people from that photo who are still alive, you know, but the photo will stand as a testament to that moment. So...
Yeah.
When she was telling me the story of the jazz one, I was like, wow, that's deep.
I thought it was dope, you know, that it was almost like 40 years, precisely pretty much 40 years between those two photos, what, 58 and 98, and the same kind of concept. And to pull it together. And I know in the jazz world, so many of those cats hated each other. But, you know, hip-hop, conversely, in this was the start of a whole world movement. And so it was like old home week. I can only imagine how many payphones got burned out, how many rolls of quarters were used to make this happen. And, you know, folks don't know anything about payphones anymore and beepers.
But can you imagine if in this day of social media, if, like, you know, someone even posted on Instagram, like, hey, at 2:00 on Friday, you know, all the big rappers of the time are going to be in one, you know, on one stoop in Hart, like, you'd have half of New York showing up, you know, and so that, I don't even know if that photo could happen the way it happened that day, you know, it would just be so different.
It would be a security nightmare.
Yeah, well, luckily that day, like, you know, just speaking of security, that day, the Nation of Islam, the FOI Nation of Islam, were the security for that day. And they actually used to do security for a lot of, like, hip-hop shows. That was pretty commonplace. But that was also just a very, like, Harlem moment. And then the church on the corner kind of served as the meeting place for everyone before they went to the stoop. And that's where, like, kind of everyone was meeting each other. And so... that photo also was just an interesting, you know, not just for the artists and Gordon Parks, but, like, the fact that, you know, the Nation of Islam and the church and kids from the neighborhood were coming. And so that was just, a beautiful day. Yeah.
And, you know, Questlove's afro looks much better now than it did on that day in this photo.
Yeah, that's why I thought he was the perfect person to write the foreword for this book, because he, you know, he used to, like, you know, take photos back in the day, too. You'd often see him with, like, you know, a camera around his neck, and he, you know, he was really thought about, like, music and photography and the visuals on a deep level. And that, the when he was, he writes in his foreword about that photo, he was like, I specifically asked the editors of the magazine where the gatefold was going to be, because I knew that if I stood in a certain place in the photo, that I would end up on the front of the magazine and not in, like, the pullout of the gatefold. So even to, like, have that forethought to ask, like, where will the cutoff be for, like, the gatefold and stand in the right place, I was like, okay, you need to write about all this, like, in the foreword. So so that was super cool to hear.
So you're the blonde chick with the Lokes on.
Wait, what?
Are you in this photo?
No, I'm not in that photo. I had stopped by that day for a little bit. I was working, you know, as a writer for some magazine. I don't remember what. But no. The blonde chick is Blondie. Who did her rap and, you know, Fast Freddy told me that. But that, and next to her is Chris Stein. So that's Debbie Harry. Chris Stein, who was also in Blondie, is also in that photo. And somebody also told me the other day that, like, Chris Stein was super excited to meet Mobb Deep that day. So I was like, oh my God, I wish I would have witnessed, you know, like, Blondie and Mobb Deep just nerding out over each other that day. That's who that white girl is.
Okay. I don't have my glasses on. I look at them going, who is that in the Lokes? The blonde chick in the Lokes. Okay. Didn't recognize her. She's still making hip hop music. She's doing something with some guy, a grime artist out of the UK. And still pretty impressive. Big Pun, too short-lived, but some great shots. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there's unfortunately a lot of the book has. So I say, you know, the book has a lot of firsts. It has a lot of, you know, Jay's first photo shoot, Biggie's first photo shoot, Mos Def's first photo shoot. But it unfortunately also has a lot of lasts and a lot of people who have passed away. You know, there's a photograph of Tupac getting a tattoo on Venice Beach, and then a couple weeks later, he's killed. And then the Biggie, King of New York, and the Crown by Baron Claiborne, like, he left right from Baron's studio and got on a plane to L.A., where he was killed, you know, a few days later. And, you know, Pun, of course, passed away. Big L is in the book, you know, with his debut album photo, but is, you know, passed away. So, you know, it's a beautiful way, I think, to memorialize, you know, them as well, you know, by telling the stories of these photos, and just kind of, like, creating this long narrative of, like, hip hop now is it's like the mainstream music of our time. But tracing it back sort of kind of gives it this, like, community feel and creates this, like, narrative that truly, you know, is now over 40 years old.
The shots that had me rolling on the floor was Kanye's first photo shoot. I was just like, you look like a scared little dude with his backpack. And the fake tough guy mug. He just had me rolling. I thought it was beautiful, though.
Yeah. You know. Did you read the story, too, of, like, how that shoot happened?
No, I... Yeah, relate that, yeah.
So it's a great story. So apparently, so Kanye had yet to put out The College Dropout.
Right.
And he, you know, he was still local Chicago, but he was making enough noise to where, like, people were starting to know him. The photographer, Nabil Elderkin, who took that photo, he bought KanyeWest.com. He bought the URL. And he gets a call from Kanye's people and was like,
right.
Yo, we're going to need that URL. And, you know, Nabil was like, okay, for a photo shoot. And they were like, okay. So that photo of, you know, Kanye with his, like, Louis Vuitton backpack and everything, mm-hmm. That's how that happened.
That's so dope. He blackmailed him for a photo shoot.
Yeah.
So he, I mean, it's pretty cool. You know, I love the fucking Fluffy Bear shoot. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Oh. Do you have any favorites? I'll tell you who I like. MF Doom and Madeline.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
the first mask wearers. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Before Deadmau5 and all those guys later would come in the dubstep world, you know, MF
yeah.
Doom, you know.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I mean, and that photo doesn't even show his face, you know, but obviously, but it's also really iconic of, you know, an image that, like, especially people who love underground hip hop, like, they, mm-hmm. that image is super, super symbolic. Yeah, I love that one. I love all of them. I'm like, I love all my children.
All your babies.
All the babies. Yeah, I can't pick a favorite. I mean, I guess, okay, like if I had to pick a favorite, you know, the Gangstar photos, just because I was on a lot of those shoots and saw them being created real time, and also, you know, got to hear Guru and Premier really talk about how they wanted to be portrayed and, like, certain things that they wanted in their shoots or mm-hmm. how they didn't want to be portrayed. And so I think just, you know, and then seeing those photos come to life, I think they're my favorites because I saw the behind-the-scenes process from the artist side, mm-hmm. too, and, like, knew how much they meant to them. So yeah, those are probably some of my favorites.
I think the person that I'm missing is Nate Dogg, the first, like, real crooner from hip hop. You know, that signature voice.
This book, you know, just given the page count limitation, like, we couldn't fit literally every single person that's important to hip-hop. It doesn't mean that they're not important to hip-hop because they're not in the book. But this is, you know, this was more about, like, what images do we all share, like, in our collective conscious? What images do we know and want to, like, go deeper into? Not necessarily a blueprint of, like, here's hip-hop's history. Like, that this book is more a photography book. It's about photography, the photographers.
It wasn't a complaint. I'll just say that.
it's a good point, you know, because there's been a lot of books about the history of hip-hop that have been super, like, encyclopedic. Those are not, you know, most of them are not photo books, but they tell that history and they go deep. You know, this book, I wanted to kind of, like, add to that narrative a little bit, but talking about the photos, because that story hasn't really been told with this many photographers and with this many photos. So,
this is
I wanted
about
to
the
kind
photographers.
Of, yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing piece of work. This, in my grandfather's time, would be called a coffee table book, and something that must be displayed on your coffee table in your formal dining room or formal living room. if you love hip hop, and Questlove did an amazing forward. He's very professorial like in his forward, yet clear and concise. And
that's right.
You know, and your introduction, thank you for an amazing introduction and discussing, you know, the who, what, when, where, and why, and then explaining the contact sheet, because nobody knows what that is unless you're a photographer. And
thank you.
As a fan of hip-hop, I want to thank you as well for taking the time to spend several years of your life to pull together this document. It is a documentary, but it's a page-by-page documentary of hip-hop and some of the most iconic names and faces for what is now a global phenomenon. And it's all ours. It's all American. You know what I mean? And
that's right. Thank you for broadening out to that, because truly, yeah, it's the dominant force. So to look back at it through these photos, I hope is something, you know, that'll serve history. So thank you.
Mickey Tobak, Contact High, A Visual Story of Hip-Hop. She is the author, the curator. She pulled it together. She earned the trust of some of the most iconic lenses in the culture of hip-hop, and actually beyond, because some of these are not just about hip-hop. Some of these photographers have gone on to shoot, you know, like Boy George and other major world players, Madonna, et cetera, et cetera. I think I've recognized some of the names from the Madonna stuff. And it's just, shout out to you, Vicky Tobot. I got it. I'm like in awe. When I got the book, it's heavyweight. It's done on, I don't know, what is this, 18 or 40 weight paper. It's very sturdy. It's going to last forever. It's durable. It dropped October the 16th. That was yesterday. So I'm very proud to have the opportunity to catch you as you're doing at the beginning of your press run. For the promo. And, you know, heads up, guys, if you're in L.A., if you're not in L.A., April 19th, 2019, the book Contact High, Visual History of Hip Hop, it opens as an exhibition in Los Angeles. And I believe you said it was at the Annenberg Space for Photography?
Yep. April 25th, 2019, it's going to open as an exhibition at Annenberg Space for Photography, and then it'll travel. It'll be up for 4 months, and then it'll travel from there. So hopefully it'll make it to, you know, cities worldwide.
You said April 25th? I'm putting this on my calendar.
Yes. Yeah.
I will be in L.A. I'm going to make sure, God willing, if I'm in good health, I'm personally going to make certain that I am home in L.A., and hopefully I'll get a chance to see you there and shake your hand for the work that you've done. You know, it's just flat out amazing. Is there anything that you wanted to cover that I may have neglected in my fanboy moments?
Oh, my God. No, I think we, you know, we covered a lot of ground, and you got all the points. Everything. So thank you.
Awesome. So much. How can they follow you, and knowing that you're still a working journalist, and how can they keep up with someone with such insight as yourself?
Yeah, so the project Contact High has you know, all its own socials. It has contacthighproject.com on Instagram, Contact High, and then I keep my journalist files separate, like VTOBAC. But for the book, you know, contacthigh.com and Contact High on Instagram is the best.
And it's available in all book retailers as of yesterday. And if you're serious about the culture, this is something that you don't want to miss. If you want to learn about your history, if you're one of those dumb young kids who happen to say that Biggie was overrated, this is one of your educational tools to let you know where you got your stuff from, all right? So definitely, this could be an awesome library. I'm sorry. I'm still pissed off at that kid. Anyway, The Hype Magazine live sessions. We've had Miss Vicki Tobok, author, Contact High, A Visual History of Hip Hop. Go get it. Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, 7-Eleven, Quick Shop, wherever they sell serious books, you can go get this joint. And it's definitely worth it. It's one for the collection. And I have a copy. I'm so blessed. Thank you so much, Ms. Tobok.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right.
All right. Bye. Take care.